have learned the hard way that when they ask people what they want, it's not the most effective strategy. Businesses have learned that what someone tells you is different sometimes than what they would buy. It's not that people are being dishonest, but let me give you a classic example. Many of you maybe remember this. Back in the early 1990s, McDonald's received a whole lot of feedback and said, McDonald's, if you could just create a healthy cheeseburger, everyone would buy it. And they kept on getting all of these surveys and things that says, we need a healthy option. If you could create a healthy cheeseburger. Well, finally, McDonald's succumbed to that, and they brought out this new sandwich. Do you remember what it was? What it was called? It was called the McLean sandwich. And amazingly, it did not last that long. In fact, they renamed it the McFlopper, but that's for another day. Because what they have found out is this, that what people have good intentions of what they want to order, I mean, after all, this healthy cheeseburger was 91% fat-free, and it was held together by extract from seaweed. I mean, who wouldn't want to eat this thing? So it's not shocking that they said this is what they want, but they never ordered it. In fact, when the opportunity came up and they looked at the screen, instead of the McLean burger, they reverted back to the Big Mac. Well, we all have good intentions, and we've been talking about good intentions over the last 2 weeks, and we will conclude today. But businesses and other people have realized that these survey-based datas are not really helpful. The businesses have now decided that they don't do surveys on what people think. They are looking more on behavior-based data, what they were actually purchase, not what someone would tell them. And so businesses and churches and others maybe need to understand that people have good intentions, but it doesn't always translate into action. And so we've been talking about this little saying, this intention-action gap, and that there's a gap between our intentions and our actions. It's the space we live in. I mean, we want to be a certain way. We want to have a certain relationship. We want our finances to go a certain way. Spiritually, we say we have good intentions to do this. We want to be a person of prayer. We want to be a regular attender at church. And yet, we tend to live in that gap between intention and action. Kenneth Woodward, a writer from Newsweek magazine who did a lot of writing, did a survey, and he wrote this article about studying surveys and compared them to what people say to actually what they actually do. And he had this title that said this. It says, provocative new surveys reveal nation where most claim to be religious, but few take their faith seriously. And so he dived into this puzzle over these surveys that keeps coming back about people in faith. And what he was puzzled over is over 90% of the people say they profess the faith in God. Yet, he labeled in this article that if you took 100 people, 50 people who have faith in God and people who did not have faith in God, that you probably couldn't tell the difference based on their lifestyle and based on their behavior. But you could separate them out very easily based on their good intentions. And so he suggests that even in Christian world that we have good intentions to be a certain way. But he said few take their faith seriously. And so we've been looking at the life of King Josiah. And we've learned about Josiah that he was intentional. That when he had opportunities come to him, he had options to go to his left or to his right, but he stayed faithful to the Lord. The first week, we looked at some of his leadership attributes and what he brought to the table. And last week, we looked at this intentional turning that he had, that he said he turned to the Lord. And then 2 Kings 23:25, we have this wonderful little verse that says, there was never a king like him. He followed the Lord and he turned to the Lord and he intentionally lived for the Lord. As I think about that, I think about my own life, and maybe you can relate to some of this too, that we can hear things and we can discuss it. We can take good sermon notes. We can have good sermon discussions. We can say, hey, we ought to read this book. But I think Josiah, when he had the opportunity, it says he turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with strength. And the Bible tells us that when Josiah heard the word of the Lord, when it was read to him for the first time, he tore his clothes. He repented. Because he realized that when the word of God was read to him, that his life was out of alignment. And so last week we looked at this turning and how Josiah handled this. And the Bible tells us that he responded with a responsive heart and he humbled himself. We also talked last week about convictions in our lives. You can say, you know, I was really convicted of that. And how many times do our convictions hang there? We say, yeah, I feel convicted. But our good intentions, that sometime we're going to do something about that conviction, helps us to feel better about it. And last week we talked also about this being intentional, that sometimes to be intentional means we stop blaming others, justifying our actions, and to take responsibility for ourselves. And last week we ended with King Josiah saying, asking for people to pray for him and for the nation. And then in 2 Kings 23, beginning with verse 1 to 3, we hear these words. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, and all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all of his heart and with all of his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. So here we have Josiah, who had taken the word that was read to him and he worked on realigning his life. Now Josiah reads the word of the Lord, the word of the law to them. And he's asking them to close the gap between their intentions and their actions. He was hoping, King Josiah was hoping that they would understand the power of God's word. And I wonder, do we understand the power of God's word? Do we understand the power of reading God's word for ourselves? I think we've gotten away from that just a bit. I think we would rather read what other people say about the Bible. We would rather have a blogger that we follow, that we read about that, about what it says about the Bible. And yet, reading the Bible ourselves, getting into his word, understanding the power of God's word to us. Josiah realized that. It changed his life. And you remember last week that God's word was lost for a long period of time. And now this word was found. And Josiah could have went many different ways when the word of the Lord came to him, when it was presented to him. He could have said, you know what? I know it's dusty. I know it's been in the back a ways. And I'm not so sure that's really for us today. I don't know if it's really relevant. I mean, you know, our culture's changed since the last time he brought out that dusty old book and scroll. But he doesn't. He takes God's word and he looks at culture through the word of God and he says, you know what? We need to make an adjustment. We need some alignment change. And he stands in front of the people and he says, this is going to be our new standard. And last week, Josiah's response was a personal response. When the Bible tells he tore his clothes, he repented. It was a private response. I mean, I always wish when I read these stories, like King Josiah, I wish I'd read a story. I wish it would have a different ending at times. I mean, I wish that this King Josiah was a turning point for the nation of Israel, or a turning point for all the people of all generations past there. I wish it was a turning point. We said there was never a king like him. And then I was going to read, hopefully, the next part of the scripture says, and his son followed the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his strength. And that person, after that, and down through generations, I wish we could read the story of the Bible where we see where this impact of the word of the Lord hit not just one generation, but hits all generations. But Josiah's son, Jehoiakim, did not follow in the path of his father. You know, when you read stories about this as a parent, it's a humbling thing, isn't it? It's a humbling thing as a parent when you read something like this. I mean, here he was, a king that followed the Lord with all of his heart. But there's a different response from King Jehoiakim when he hears the word of the Lord. And it's found not in 2 Kings, but in Jeremiah 36, 22 to 24. And it's page 817 in your pew Bible if you want to look. But it says this. And when I read this, it's a situation that could be for us this weekend as we look at the snow and we're in our houses and we have maybe a fire burning. But listen to what it says. It was the ninth month and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the fire pit in front of him. Whenever Jehuda had read three or four columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. The king and all of his attendants who heard all these words showed no fear, nor did they tear their clothes. So here we have, one generation removed, a complete different personal response. Josiah was responsive. He humbled himself. But now here's his son. Just one generation removed, who hears the word of the Lord and stops and starts cutting it up and feeds it to the fire to let the fire continue to go. This reminds you back to what Jesus says. Jesus says a wise man hears the word and puts it into practice. So maybe that means for us, is this intentional living? Is we read our Bibles, we work on not just reading it, but to work on aligning our lives to his word. And maybe, just maybe, sometimes the word has become too familiar to us. We already know the end of the story. We already know what may happen. But have you ever tried to read the word of the Lord and meditate on it? To focus in, to ask the Lord, hey, what might you have me get out of this today? Could it be if we practice that sometimes our hearts would turn to align ourselves with what the Bible really says? So here's King Josiah. He has the word read, and he says, okay, people, this is what we're going to do. We are going to commit ourselves to the word of the Lord. Now, I know it may be uncomfortable for some of you. I know that you don't agree with everything. But we are going to work to align our lives with God's word. This is our new standard. Josiah went public with his faith. We can have good intentions. We can say this is what we're going to do. But King Josiah had a personal conviction and a personal response, but it did not stop there. He went public with his conviction and his commitment. And I thought about this week. What would that look like for us? For some of us who have personally confessed, personally have taken the word of the Lord seriously, personally accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, then maybe it's time for us to take ourselves public. Maybe that's in our encounter groups. Maybe that's in our workplace where we say, hey, I'm committed and convicted. Maybe it's in our own homes where some things have not gone well and we need to change things up. Maybe we say, you know what? I am convicted and I'm committed to do this. Maybe it's with some of our friends or some people we deal with. Maybe it's time for us to go public and say, hey, I'm convicted and I'm committed to this. Because what we have found out through Weight Watchers and AA is that there is something that happens when we go public. There's something happens with our good intentions when we go public. When we hold each other accountable, we have a community of faith here that one of the things that we need to do and are encouraged to do is to lean upon this community, to go to one another, and to hold each other accountable. Many of us have gone public with our faith through baptism, and we have this public confession of faith, and we are baptized, and we say we are convicted, and we are committed. But as I end the story on King Josiah, I've missed a big chunk of King Josiah's story. Big part of the story, because sometimes we just want to fly by some of that stuff because it doesn't really relate to us. Oh, I know, we talk about it, we say it, but does it really relate? A big part of King Josiah's story is that he was dealing with idolatry, false gods. But when we say, well, Lynn, you want us to read the Bible, and we read this Old Testament stuff and all this images and Asherah and all these other things, and you know, we don't have any of that stuff here. But what struck me about King Josiah's story, that there was a lot of space dealing with idolatry. I mean, it was huge for King Josiah to deal with. And he went to great lengths to make sure to get rid of the idols. In fact, the Bible even tells us he goes into deep detail of how he does this. And I wondered, when the scroll was read, when he read the word of the Lord, maybe something struck at his heart when the Ten Commandments were read to him. Maybe something just hit him like a bolt of lightning when it talked about no other gods or not make false idols or images. Maybe something struck at his heart when he read those words that he said, I am committed and convicted. So in 2 Kings 23, after verse 3, beginning with verse 4, we have a change. We get in great detail exactly what happens. It says the king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, the priest next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the idolatrous priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem, those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon and to the constellations and to all the starry hosts. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned it there. He not only did that, he ground it into the ground and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes that were in the temple of the Lord and the quarters where women did weaving for Asherah. Do you see what happened? This is not like, these idol things, we're going to have to deal with this sometime. You know, maybe we ought to think about that. Let's put that on the agenda the next time we meet. Let's discuss this. No, it's not what happened. In great detail, we see that he was very intentional. He burned these things, and he ground it into powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. This was a big deal for King Josiah. And this is a big deal for us. King Josiah knew that these things were distracting people from listening to the word of God. King Josiah knew as well as we know that God has competition. That there's things and people who fight for our focus. And King Josiah said, we need to make sure that God is the priority because too many things are trying to unseat God. So King Josiah maybe had good intentions, but he followed through, intentionally gotten rid of those idols. But we don't have the poles. We don't have these statues. We don't need to burn anything down. We don't need to grind things down. We don't need to take ashes and spread it out. What do we have? I'm glad you asked. What are our idols? Are idols comforts and conveniences? The things that make us comfortable to keep us from intentions to action? What about our prayer life? What is taking us away from our prayer lives? What are distracting us from that? What is distracting us from going from good intentions to actions? That phone call, that note, that walk across the parking lot to a coworker or a neighbor. Do you know? I can think of possibly one or a thousand. But let me just talk about one. Do you know that we check our phones over 50 times per day? And I think many of us, maybe a lot more than that. Do you know that 40% of phone users report that they feel lost or incomplete when they go an hour without their phone? Do you know that 30% of phone users have said that the phone has come between them and their spouse? That their screen time affects their intimacy and depth of connection? And if that's true of marriage, it's absolutely true spiritually in our time with God. So maybe we need to put up guide rails. Maybe we need to not be looking to the left or the right, as he said, but be intentional. Because the opposite of intentional, the word for that is accident. And maybe we have become a culture that is more in tune, instead of being intentional, to just say, well, it was an accident. Accidents happen, and we're left off the hook. This relationship that we're dealing with, accidents happen. It didn't go well. Season of life. Accidents happen. We're well-intentioned people. We're good people. But if we live our lives just by accident, with a few good intentions sprinkled in, oh, I know, we mean well. And I thought, well, what if we could be just a little bit more like King Josiah, who have responsive hearts to follow God's word, to commit ourselves to opening up his word, commit ourselves instead of opening up the phone, opening up his word, instead of opening up the phone, maybe opening our hearts to a conversation. Oh, I know. Our phones really aren't idols, Lynn. But I can't think of anything else in our day that has more potential to be like in the story of King Josiah than the use of screens in our society. I don't know, maybe take our phones and throw them down and crush them and put them down into powder and then throw them over the graves in Slate Hill Cemetery. I don't know if that's actually the answer. I don't know. But something needs to happen. We need to reconnect with God and each other. And it's okay for us as a church community to just admit that we need help. We can't do it alone. God did not make us in an island. He gave us community. So let us lean on one another. Let us be the AA of whatever goes on here that we need some help with. Let us be the Weight Watchers that we gather around people and be an encouragement for people. But it's hard to do that if we don't go public. It's hard to know if we don't go public. It's hard to know what's going on in people's lives if we don't go public. And I know it's a risk to go public. But I think when we go public, we allow the church community to engage the way they were supposed to. And we allow these things in our lives to come full circle. That maybe we can say, like King Josiah, there was no one, there was never a church like them. Because here's where my heart bleeds, is this. Only one generation after King Josiah, they took the word of the Lord and they ripped it up into pieces and they threw it on the fire. And there was no fear of God. And they say, I'm not following him. So, idols, we don't have them really around here anymore. Or do we?